I don't know Jody Massengill, although I understand that some people in this parish do. Jody is the manager of the Mellow Mushroom restaurant out on the beach. You might have read about him. Some 3 or 4 months ago, Jody won $3 million on a scratch-off lottery ticket that he purchased at a convenience store just down the street from the restaurant. $3 million in an instant. Can you imagine? But there is more to the story. Just a couple of weeks ago, Jody bought another scratch-off lottery ticket. This time he won $10 million. I feel like I should do this. $10 million. Now, like I said, I don't know Jody, but I'm sure that I do know a local church that he could attend. And I have a feeling that Jody is probably the former manager of the Mellow Mushroom. And that's still not the end of the story. I found out this week that Jody was not spending the rent money on lottery tickets. Jody had been invited to go to Ebro to play poker by some friends, and he went. The very first time ever he had played poker, and that night, Jody won $22,000. And that's how he was buying lottery tickets. Can you imagine such abundance, such luck? What would you do? Now, personally, I have always believed that I'd make a really good rich person. But alas, my vocational choice apparently will prevent that from happening. There's an old joke about a man named John who meets God. John has many questions for God, and John asks, "God, how long is a million years to you?" God answers, "It is but a second to me." Then John says, "God, how much is $1 million to you?" God answered, "It is but a penny to me." So John says, "God, can I have a penny?" And God says, "Sure, wait a second." I share those stories with you this morning because I think that they do speak, believe it or not, to the heart of today's gospel lesson. The truth is there are a whole lot of sheep sermons going on across the world today. Jesus says, "Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." And the gospel reading says, the disciples could not figure out what he was talking about. You could actually drive yourself crazy trying to figure out all the metaphors in this single text. Yes, there are a lot of sheep sermons going on today, but for me, this text doesn't lend itself to one. I'll just wait for a more cuddly sheep gospel for my own sheep sermon. And for me, the true question of this gospel, though, leads me back to the stories that I shared with you. Because in the very last line of this text, Jesus says, "I came that they, you and I, may have life and have it abundantly." Abundance. I love that word. I envision abundance as excess, overflowing, plentiful, $13 million, one of God's pennies, abundance. And Jesus says that the reason he came was so that we could have abundant lives. But we don't always feel that, do we? Especially at the end of the month when the bills are being paid. And for me, the gospel question for us sheep is, how do we really define that abundance? Abundance has to do with stuff, stuff, and more stuff, doesn't it? Necessities like food and shelter, but overflowing plenty too, like cars and clothes and vacations and vacation homes and stocks and bonds and discretionary cash and lots of it. Winning the lottery twice, that's abundance, isn't it? But in God's dictionary, I'm not so sure the definition ever had a thing to do with money or with stuff. Old Testament professor Walter Brueggemann wrote an article for the Christian Century in 1991 that was entitled "The Liturgy of Abundance, the Myth of Scarcity." He noted, "We are held hostage by the belief that we live in a world of scarcity, that we live in a world of limitations, that there is only so much wealth to go around. And as Christians, we are torn apart by the conflict between the attraction to the good news of God's abundance and the power of our belief in scarcity, a belief that often makes us greedy and mean and unneighborly. And some of us spend our lives trying to sort out that ambiguity." You see, when our definition of abundance is ultimately tied to money and to stuff, we are guaranteed to become plagued with a sense of scarcity. It is our human love affair with more, which of course ensures that we will never have enough. So often the human drug of choice is more. Now, before you tune me out, if you haven't already, this is not a sermon about money being bad. It's not. I like money. I'd love to have $13 million worth of sudden money, and I do think I would make a really good rich person. This is not about money. Instead, it's about the challenge of abundance. The adequacy of God's gift to fulfill our deepest needs, our most urgent hunger. Society says we always need more. God's abundance says there's always enough. And how we define that abundance goes a long way toward determining how we live our lives. So, what is this abundance that Jesus speaks of? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer it for yourself. But let me encourage you to try something. Try to define the concept of an abundant life, what an abundant life means for you, without utilizing anything that has to do with money or stuff. It's harder than you might think. And for some, it might just be impossible. But in doing so, I believe we come ever closer to understanding the words of Jesus and the reason why he came. Because if abundant life is a promise, why would we ever settle for anything else? It is not something to earn, achieve, or buy. It is a gift. The sheer gift of a God who loves us enough to send that good shepherd, the one who knows his sheep. You know, maybe an abundant life is a life where we not only persist, but we thrive. Where we don't simply exist, but we flourish. Maybe an abundant life is to have a sense of meaning and purpose and fulfillment, to know and to be known, to accept and to be accepted. Maybe an abundant life is about looking at the choices we make, the strategies we employ to get there, to get what we deem is important, the things we rely on, and then simply ask the question, are we satisfied? Maybe an abundant life demands that we become more vulnerable than we're most often prepared to be. So much of our life is spent protecting ourselves, giving the impression that we really do have it all together. We try so hard to protect ourselves from hurt and disappointment that we often cut ourselves out from the opportunity to be alive. Maybe an abundant life requires that we give some of that abundance away. And remember, we're not talking money or stuff. So I'm not speaking of writing a check to a deserving cause, even though that is a good thing. I'm speaking of a giving that recognizes abundance and generosity are invariably linked. A giving of ourselves in honesty in relationship, an overflowing plenty, reflecting the overflowing nature of God's own love. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if instead of always wishing for more money or fame or success or things, we Christians as the people of God could just as earnestly wish with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves? Wouldn't that be amazing? and how different our lives would be. Because the story of abundance says that our lives begin and end in God. And it is that type of abundance that can never, ever be taken from us. And then maybe our lives can be lived without despairing that our meager personal resources are not adequate. Maybe we can stop thinking our problems are much larger than our ability to solve them, that we don't have enough time or money or energy or intelligence or imagination to meet the challenges we face each week as spouses, parents, students, at work, in our families, our careers, our own health. Maybe we could actually risk trusting the opposite of those daily worries of scarcity that drive and determine so much of our lives, and instead risk trusting the promise that when we bring what we have, when we offer what we have to whatever challenge is facing us, that God will multiply, empower, use, create, and provide whatever it is that we bring to the table. I guess the truth is it's probably easier to live without any compelling sense of witness or duty or call or commitment or conscience or conviction. But that would be a life of scarcity. We would never know the relief of trusting the embrace of God's genuine and abundant love. We would never be filled to overflowing through giving. We would never experience the freedom to extend that love to our neighbor, our community, and our world. And we would never know the overflowing joy and well-being, the completeness of purpose, and yes, harmony that God says is ours for the taking, allowing that shepherd to lead us where perhaps we've never been before. Do you believe it? And just so you know, if I ever get the chance to meet Jody Massengill, I'd love to have the chance to talk to him about God's abundance. I'd love the chance to hear what he thinks. But I'll also be sure to bring a pledge card just in case. God love you. Amen.